particular language that was spoken 70 years ago, which speaks that just a measure of understanding and not fully and accurately interpreted.
It may be, but it's just that I don't think we've got clear evidence to say that he got a full understanding or even a half understanding of what he was saying. But I think it's well said that he's edified, and I think you've seen that there are evidence too in that your man could be edified through the experience.
What
to build. And I think that any spiritual experience will build, I know that not in the same measure, but there is a sense in which it would strengthen his faith to know that he was a vehicle of the Lord in that particular matter to help others and to be a voice in the assembly. Yes, our brother, well, before our brother. Alan.
That's what I meant by the miraculous. I think the miraculous meant that the truth was expounded.
granted, that was implicit in the original statement.
The one thing we should all remember now, that for the modern song business, the great problem is that when a man would speak for maybe 6 minutes or 8 minutes in a song, the interpreter would only take about 2 minutes.
Is this what you've heard?
In the modern.
Not only you've heard that.
That is the problem that they have themselves.
Yes.
That they have got new interpreters. Mm-hmm. Because there is no comparison between, now I know that Greek may need a little longer in English, or English may need a little longer in Greek.
Yes.
But there's no comparison between the types. Now again, we should remember that why it was restricted to two is that the interpreter hadn't to look hadn't with only a minute of the amount that he could hold in his mind. So they could have done it, but it's on. Whereas if so many had spoken, he'd been lost the first man, and the second man, he would just be doing the last man.
So, of course, you do agree now, this man was a vehicle to whom the Spirit of God was speaking. So it wasn't merely a retention in his mind of truth, because the Spirit of God was bringing it to him, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's keep on moving, because you'll appreciate, our brother Russ told us yesterday that we have 31 verses, and our brother had 13 verses. Well, I've got 40 verses, you'll remember, and we do aim to find it through this chapter. So let's notice now in verse 6. Brethren, if I come unto you, speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, knowledge, prophesying doctrine. Now, you'll notice doctrine is teaching. So we do have allusion to teaching in this chapter. And the apostle is showing that there are means that God has given by which the people of God will be edified. I want us to keep back to that keeper theme in our mind, that it's the edification of the people of God that should be uppermost in the exercise of all gifts.
Do you think this knowledge here is the word of knowledge, or would you say it's the knowledge that is needed in order to effectively teach? Thinking of linking the revelation with the prophesying and the knowledge with the doctrine.
Yes, yes. I think it's probably right to do that, that the revelation does link. It certainly links, because one could not prophesy unless divine revelation has been given. But teaching could not be given unless there was knowledge of the truth of God.
And not the word of knowledge.
No, not the word of knowledge, but of chapter.
The very song and the following verses, the musical instruments and so on.
Yes.
There should be clarity in our expression, and we should ensure that we're communicating matters to those that hear us. There's no point in speaking into the air using language that the hearer doesn't understand. If you're speaking to children, you must speak in language that they understand. And in all of our exercises in the company should know what we're speaking about.
Now, that's very important, what has been brought before us. Mm-hmm. There's a principle here that you're bringing out now.
The trumpet could give that awakening sound. It could give a warning sound. It could give direction. And there should be that in our ministry. We should know that this is Jesus.
You're quite right. Now, let's see what our brother's talking about. Look at verse 7. The apostle takes up now example in illustration. He says, you think now of a pipe or a harp, these things without life, you see dead instruments giving sound, except they give a distinction in the sound or in the tune. There must be a modulation of notes so that a tune is heard. And he says, how shall it be known what is? How will you know the tune unless there's distinctiveness, so that people can understand the tune? When you come to verse 8, he takes another example, the sounding of a trumpet. Now, it's an uncertain sound. It doesn't give the sound that it intended to give. Therefore, who will prepare himself for the battle? So clarity is very important, understanding and clarity. Now, our brother's bringing it out and applying it to children, but it can be just as well applied to our ministry. It is the work of the, it has often been said, that a teacher can often find in his audience, I found it most times, people who know more than himself. But that person in the audience, although he might know more than the man who's teaching, God may have not necessarily given to that brother the gift of teaching. The teacher must seek to understand the truth of God, but implicit in the gift of teaching is the ability to make it understood to the people of God, to be clear. Well, that's very important, and we should give attendance to that when we teach the Word of God.
It was as Aberdeen says, the mark of a true teacher was a man who could not give a good instruction.
That's it. And it's summed up, is it not, in the expression in verse 9, words easy to be understood.
That is it.
Could
I ask you all the rest of the message words you are still? Now, I take it that this principle is that this part of the world is wrong, but this part is wrong. Well, I think in this verse, remember that he said, I would rather that you prophesy. But I take it your point is not without basis, but also in the passage there is the gift of tongues, they're both being compared, and the relative values that they're spoken about, and this is, as our brother said, this is the tongue that must be, there must be interpretation so that it can be understood. It's the same as the prophet.
Because the word tongue is just a human tongue,
the word exactly, that's right. Do the physical of them, these tongues. So, look at verse 9 again. So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongues, that's the point that has been made, words easy to be understood. Now, just throwing an emphasis on that, we're going to pass it by now, but you've heard what has been said, and it's very important that the word, that whenever we present the gospel or the ministry of the word of God, we just seek to be simple. Some people have this idea, okay, it's very deep, you say, well, you're very silly, you don't know. In other words, you haven't understood what was said. There's no use being deep if you're not understood. As our brother said, it's making simple things easy to be understood. Very good, yes. When you look at those other gifts, many of them would have been outside of the assembly, but he's taking these two which have a public effect, and the Corinthians were very interested in public ministry. He can be hiding no gift. He speaks of utterance, he speaks of knowledge. Now that's what these are the bases of the things that he's dealing with in this chapter. That's how I would generally see the reason why they're given such prominence here. Prophesying and teaching were public verbal gifts for the assembly.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Now that is very important. Now we're going to conclude that section. Look at verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is gibberish. That's what he's really saying. None of them is without signification. They all are able to be understood. Now he says, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. He might as well be speaking in another language. In other words, he's saying, you could listen to a man speaking, whether he's prophesying, or whether he's speaking the gift of tongues without an interpreter present, and you might as well anyway be listening to a foreign language, because you're not going to understand it. I think that is what it means said.
So the word voices is really languages.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Even so, let's now come, please, to verses 12 through, verse 12 verse. Even so, forasmuch as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel. to the edifying of the church. Remember that edification, building, is the important matter. Now can we move to 13 to 25, the exercise of the gift of tongues. Now we can't go back to our previous discussions. You'll appreciate that. We're getting short of time. But let us look at this section and notice that it's those that have that gift, that is, they're being given advice and help us throughout how to exercise it. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So we've already considered the fact that both of those gifts could be within the one man. Not necessarily, we've got statements in the chapter that show that sometimes two people are involved, one in the speaking of the tongue, the other in the interpretation of it.
So does this perhaps suggest, it may be implied, that Paul was endeavouring to wean the believers of Corinth away from the use of tongues? Because if the person who spoke could give the interpretation, then it would obviate the need initially for speaking in the tongue.
And would virtually be prophesying.
Yes.
Yes.
This is better in the recent edition has probably seen us alongside of that an exercise of skill. And in that connection, we see along the same way by the mountain, that the notion of all the utility of our future, perhaps in excellent line, in the relationship that would have been possible here, probably the exercise of the benefit of others.
What about the playing? Is the plane private as well?
Oh, yes, I thought so.
I see. So you brought him out of the assembly here?
Well, that's not exactly. I'll be just thinking of what you can do privately for him.
Oh,
that's not a different thing to what you do in public.
Okay, I don't know.
But undoubtedly, verse 16 must be public.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
And yet, to be fair to the passage, I feel that there is the underlying thought of the use of tongues in all of these exercises.
You see, I think that when we come, well, it might be that, but I'd rather thought here that it had become wider than that. And that when he uses the personal pronoun, that he's really using it as an example, but he has in mind exercises within the assembly. I thought that this had not come out of the assembly, and that he's simply speaking about me as an individual, not solo, but the fact that when I take part in the singing in the assembly, this is the attitude in which I...
But you're making that ordinary singing, I brother, not that I can't say.
I am. I
don't think that that comes into the topic.
You think that's in his own personal spirit?
No, but it's not a matter of that, but it's not a matter of singing in the ordinary way. Because when we're singing beyond the sound of the singing, it's a shoot. But he's singing in a spirit.
But you see, we don't always. That's my point. You say we should, and I agree with you, but we don't. And I think that that's what he's saying, that there's a melody that I alluded to in the business of the first
of the
year. You can't. But of course it does say singing here, so we do have singing. I had thought it was collective, but you've heard what has been said now, and we've got to say that.
It's not the collective point, but it's not ordinary singing. That's what I want to get up.
All right.
It's a spirit exercise.
Well, you'll understand that not all agree with you, but I agree.
But
I know you do.
You've expressed
it, and that's fine.
No, they got a hold of it.
That's right. Yes, but that's the point. Our brother David made that point a moment ago, and I would personally believe that the assembly is in view in the right way. I can understand this exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asked us to look at it, and we've looked at it. Right?
You remember earlier on in the Bible, the
yes, of course he does. He's sometimes using if, not so much in the sense of doubt, but as the if of our dimension. Now, brother Phil.
And it's so to go back to what I've been doing, and that's why I think in verse 5 the idea that in the contact mind is commanding to show how the different talent is going to be. He is taking the understanding that he is in person. And I'm getting quite sure, I think, we have an education that the man with the different talent from creating in person. And when he has a different interpretation, and the different talent and interpretation,
well, I don't think we were really saying no to that. I both suggested that earlier, really, and I think we agreed with that, that he's really moving towards the topic of the communication program. The gift has not ceased yet. That's the only thing I would make. We must bear that in our mind. Yes?
For the individual man, certain purpose to serve as a citizen, obviously, that was part of the rationale.
Of the purpose of it, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Signed, I was
assigned it. The individual man,
the purpose of the man, I know who the signing book has been signed. But then the person has the voice there.
Yes.
It is removed from the operation. This is the means thereby they are going to speak.
It could lead to that. I don't think that's right, Brother. At this moment.
I think that's the idea. I think that God gives a message in the tongue. And a man has no choice as to say whether I get it in the right language or not. He gets it in the tongue. And then he says that the Lord has been sent.
And the Lord may well.
I have no question on that. I don't think that I don't think that.
That's right. But we're saying that the verses are saying a man could pray that God gave him that as well as the gift of God. No, what I think we want to consider before we leave verse 16. Look at verse 16. How shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not? Now don't forget, we do want to catch that thread that's running through. It's the importance of whatever vehicle of truth it is, that the truth be understood. See, that's coming out again. And here's the notice that in this verse, it's the man who occupies the room of the unlearned. Do you believe that the unlearned man here is the same as the unlearned man in verse 23? I do. I believe that if this is a man who is not, he will say, but he's not in the assembly.
Yes.
Emphasize what our brother Gillingham said, that the New Testament teaches quite clearly that there's an inside and an outside to the assembly. We know, for instance, that there was a man in Corinth who was kept in who should have been out. In the first epistle, he's morally tender, he was still in, but he should have been out, and that's why Paul says, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. There was a man in the assembly who should have been out. When we come to the second epistle, there was a man out who should be being brought back in.
So those three that will help us to see both an inside and an outside to the ascending. We have here in this chapter, in both of the verses we just cited, verse 16 that we're looking at now, we will have to move from to, verse 23. We have for both expressions, we might as well deal with it now, the issue's been raised, those that are unlearned or are unbelievers. We have the unlearned on his own in the previous verse. I am quite convinced that the unbeliever is clearly an unsaved man. The unlearned man is a man who is saved. But he's not in the fellowship of the assembly, therefore he's amongst those who say, God is among you. So if you use that language, you can't be there. You're saying among you, obviously. So you never have heard.
On the other hand, it's true that he's a man who can follow the things that we can suffer them, if you say so. But an unsaved man would be
a man. An unsaved man could neither say man, nor could he be held required as far as he learned as part of that. The room of the unlearned. Yes. I take it that it's since I don't think it's so much that this year. I'm quite happy you're having a seat somewhere, but I said, don't think that's the thought that here, the room of the unlearned. I think it's the fact that there is an identification in some way that there's a man there and he's not in the assembly, and the assembly knows it. And now I think it's right that in most assemblies would have a seat at the back somewhere, or maybe at the side. I don't think that's the most important thing. I think it's the fact that it's the position of a man, not in fellowship. He doesn't fellowship of the elements. He doesn't enjoy the fellowship of Israel. He does not part of it. I'm perfectly happy about that, but I don't think the room here indicates the physical, the geographical place.
No, it is still the place of the unknown.
Yes. There must be a place, but all I'm saying is I'm not sure that that's what's saying in this verse. But you obviously are.
Yes. Why is it necessary that the unlearned can do it in advance of the unlearned parts? First of all, you say that parts of the elect also not where the will be parts should have been filled with what should have not been already in the elect of the elect. Here is the unlearned what ought to be known to the elect.
One concern I have is that in spite of the ministry on Friday, several of our meetings have been quite a few with nothing. Well, I agree with you fully. I mean, I think it's right to say amen. And I think that we've much scripture for it, and I believe our brother ministered on it the other night. But it's not that here, is that what you're saying? Oh, it is that here, sorry. It's the Dane shows that he's not in the assembly. Yes. Yeah. Yes, thank you for that. Now, we're going to move again. Here, quickly, Beverly, God give us thanks, Willow, but the other is not edified. And then the apostle says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yes, in assembly, the article is not there. I had rather speak five words with my understanding. And he begins now to talk about be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice to ye children, but in understanding ye men, and the reference now to Isaiah 28. Now I'd like to hear what our brother must say about these verses.
And here we have it, again, the development. not to be arrogantly, they were acting like children to think it was a great thing to be able to speak in tongues. And they were thinking, oh, that was childish. You grow up then and be man and don't be children.
No, that's very helpful. Thank you. Yes. So it's a childish thing to go in for that which is spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indication
for
Africa,
well and prayer, over tongue. Not that I am aware, but maybe my servant will help me.
I think the indication is that he spoke privately. That's what Antonio did ask. You see, that's contained in the chapter in verse 14. I thought that I pray that this.
You opened those tongues.
You see, you're back and you never even know. So I thought about a little kid and said, Paul, what about you? He didn't even call the next wonderful spiritual experience. But he wasn't there to shoot us off there, was he?
No, you know the right, but we don't have evidence for that. That's all I'm saying.
I one week answered our acknowledged brother who was saying, I speak of tongues of Paul and Simon.
I think I would use the arguments that we've given both in our introduction and the ones that were considered yesterday as to the cessation of these sign gifts. Brother Gillian, those important points, just before you go in, Matthew, is to say that the Isaiah 28 passage was divine judgment on the nation. With stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. That was going to be the language of the Assyrian that would be heard, and it would be in judgment. Matthew, the tongue. Yes? Yes. Very much so. I think that all links with the beginning of the dispensation, you see. Yes. Now, we have to keep moving, but we're on. Yes. Yes, the Lord said that, didn't he, in the Gospel of Matthew? Thank you for that.
There was a difficulty with parents, and it arises amongst us. The topic of the open platform was abused. They were occupying time that was not edifying to the continent. There's another note here that Paul never suggested that there should be an ordered platform or an ordered minister. That seems to be the answer today. If public exercises have been abused, then we will arrange the platform and they specify who is to take part and how long they are to take part and even presently what they're going to speak on. But there's no forbidden about that. Because it was all in Corinth, and if there ever was a temptation to do it, it was a Corinth.
Well, I can understand your point. Of course, you will know that the last verse of this chapter is after and so competently translated that all things be done differently and by arrangement.
I want
to. think God has a good plan to be located. Let's now, what I would like us to do, brethren, is remember that we said from 13 to 25, broadly revolves around this matter of the exercise of faith. But as we close that section, for if all prophesy and there come in one but believe, if he talks in the churches come together in verse 23, and all speak with tongues and there come in, will they not say ye not? But if all prophesy and there come in one but believeth not, or one already is convinced, he is convicted, he is judged. And thus the secrets of the heart are made manifest. I would like it, and so a spiritual result is achieved. Let's come to the closing section, if we may. The verse is 26 to the end of the chapter, where we have the various exercises in an assembly gathered together. Now in verse 26, we have the behavior generally of the assembly. Whereas in verses 27 and 8, we have the behavior of the men who are functioning using the gift of tongues. And in verses 29 to 33, we have a regulation of the behavior of the prophets. And in verses 34 to 35, we have a regulation of the behavior of the sisters. And then in verse 36, how all should behave in response to that. Now, that's a lot of ground. I'm happy for the reading to go on to half the school, but I don't think the convenience will be happy with that. So, there's got to be some arrangement even here today. So, keep that in mind now, and let's look briefly at verse 26.
Was verse 26 spoken or written in the form of a rebuke? Were they wrong in coming with a psalm, a preaching, a tongue, a revelation?
It seems that they certainly were not coming with a view to edifying the company. And it may be that the apostle is, in measure, rebuking them. I don't think he's saying that should not happen in the gathering. But I think he is saying that when you come, that there must be a spiritual exercise in this matter. But have you got something further to add to that?
No, we often think with regard to the meetings that we refer to as being open. And I'm thinking now of our remembrance and time of prayer, Bible reading, that there needs to be an unprepared preparedness. In other words, we don't come determined to speak at all costs, but we should be exercised and we should be prepared if the Spirit opens up the Word.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
Yes. I think there should be some.
One big thing about the passage you should never miss, and that is there's no emphasis on the Spirit's leading in the promotion. It's the Lord who leads, and it's the Spirit who empowers. I thought I'm going to use a very good illustration for what our brother has just been saying. He says, come with a battery well charged, but not necessary to sit on the left.
Good. Yeah, you are very nice. Very nice. Yeah, that's good. One brother used to say came in an unfit state of unprepared
Don't forget that principle, if it's only going to be the daily defender, it's a bride and the first hold of peace. But I have a feeling my brother to be more out of time into the company where I have 2 years and 1 month.
Yes, that's right. And the other thing to remember about the passage, remember this is one chapter out of these number of chapters that are dealing with this whole series of matters. 12 is given to emphasis on the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not going to be as one size for it's going to be up.
I know that you've opened up the world for this section. What can you make from it? Say, for example, on verse 29, is that
the... Please, 27 to 28 is the next section.
Oh, sorry.
If there's anything anybody wants to say on that, just... If any man speaks on his tongue, let it by two, or at the most by three. And that, by course, I take it that separately or in turn, but the order must characterize the regulation and use of that gift. And then there's a word about the interpreter. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence. And notice the word keep silence. Because people question that expression when we come to the system later. But it's exactly the same expression here as it is later down the chapter. Anything on those verses, please? I don't think that that should come into it at all. The whole idea is that it looks good in the country, and if a man has to interpret, if it goes any more than the three, he couldn't get back to the formal room. He couldn't get to anything else.
The only point I would make, Mr. McShane, to that is that when we come to the prophets, they're going to have an almost identical expression.
Yes, of course, it's the reason.
Again, I give you the reason for that.
Yes, sir.
Because these were direct revelations from God.
Right.
And therefore, there would be the apostles, the human and the men. You see, they couldn't turn up shop and dress to see if you even listen to your teaching, and they can go back and revise it in their mind.
No.
I have just wondered in connection with the prophets whether there was something more implied here. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other, that's the other at the same time, the other prophet judge. You see, if a prophet receives a direct revelation, I feel that another prophet, and perhaps another prophet, would receive a similar communication, because it's in the mouth of two or three witnesses that every matter should be established. And it was important, I judge, in the question of new revelation, that the whole thing should be established and not just in the realm of the individual.
Except it's not all the one revelation, always, because when you come to verse 30, if anything you read to another sort of fire, let the first hold his feet. So there's obviously a variety of teaching and prophecy. I must say that I couldn't part myself entirely from what our brother has said, because I think the very points that have been made about what we hold can still apply to many, some of our ministry meetings. You could listen to eight brethren and minister one after the other, and it's hard to retain that just as it is. I know we've got the Bible today, but nevertheless, it can become disorderly if we go to an extreme. So the principle associated with it.
So in the 2 hours this afternoon, you better just take care of
I'm not here to regulate other people's behaviors. I am just saying that I do believe the passage contains a principle too.
What's the idea of the fact that the people of
Now let's go to the section, if we may now, because our brother has taken us through the prophecies of the little, and we've seen the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets, and God is not the author of confusion.
Which is important, that's the important spirit of the prophet. So if someone didn't just get out uncontrollably, he's in control of his own spirit. That's important in view of the way in which some of these charismatics operate.
Right. He can hold his peace. Yes, he can hold his peace. He doesn't disturb the meeting, then, because he can't touch him.
Quite so. Now let's come to the 34 now to 35. How the women should be led. Let your women be silent to the church. You know, I'd like to hear our brethren trust in the month and everything. Very well. That's right, that's very helpful, thank you.
Is there room for saying, Jim, that the expression in verse 33, the last expression, as in all churches of the saints, let your women keep silent in the churches?
I'm not sure dramatically, though. In the text, whether that's liable, is it? We do bring it together, all right?
Well, it seems to be more in keeping with that rather than in verse 32, because the implication.
Yes, I can see the problem. I think, anyway, it's covered in verse 37 and 38, anyway, in that same principle. Yes? Yes? Oh, definitely. I think we can see that. We're really sure of time, of course. You go to Revelation 2 and 3, the letters were individual, but it was to all of churches. So that all the churches expected to practice all the truth.
One of the things that we should have emphasized is that if you bring priesthood into the assembly, the women are as much priests as men. And this has been moved greatly of the argument that women should have taken part in the women priests. And it was the cutting the priesthood down to half. As you know, I emphasize very strongly that priesthood never meant with the local assembly, nor never meant with the Lord's Supper. So if you don't want to bring that into it, because otherwise you're going to have to put the second part.
Well, now you've put a bit well on. Well done, that's very good now. Now, you've heard what has been said, and I think that's very important. In that sense, say, look at verse 35. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. That word husband is the same word as for man in chapter 13 and verse 11. So I think it's important to see that if they have a spiritual difficulty, they cannot, because of this passage raised in the Bible reading. But there's no reason why they can't go to a brother that they respect if they don't have their own husband at home and unmarried sister. It's man that is injured. So it's men and women. Thank you for that, Brother David. Now, notice now, verse 35, again, it is a shame to speak in assembly. So God has put a very clear thing. Now, there are many, many leaflets and booklets being written. You're talking about something circulating at the moment, something circulating on this subject at the very moment. And it's been given a lot of credence in certain circles and so. The Word of God is unequivocal here, and in 1 Timothy 2, and in Revelation, in the churches of Revelation, there was a woman who was teaching in the assembly, and it's condemned. We should remember those things too. Good. That's right. What came the Word of God out from you, or came it unto you? Is he talking about the fact that he brought the Word of God to them originally? Isn't that part of the point? That's what he's emphasizing. And in fact, they're now becoming the center of excellence in the teaching and telling the things what they should be doing, and it's disobedience to the Word. But they were in fact the recipients of the Word. Yeah. Good. Our brother's pointing out the Word speaks is not chapter. 24 times in this word, in the chapter, that word occurs. And each refers to taking part publicly in the assembly. If you examine the ledger, each time speak is used in this chapter, it's public participation in the assembly. Well, if you accept my argument, I'm just going to exchange on some of them. But you know, in general, anyway, the word speak is a public thing in the assembly.
Woman,
one question. The moral supply, exactly. It's an interesting point. On your point, I've noticed, from what I've heard and been told on good authority, that I don't go to be selective, but where women take part, you very seldom find their heads covered. They argue that, but they don't practice it. They only argue for the sake of trying to make a sound argument about it. But those very same sisters have short hair and uncovered heads. So they don't practice what they're claiming is the reason why they can't take part.
Right, let me offer you our united thanks.